Okay, the parsha is Vayera. I would like to say a few things about stone. First, in the past, I've pointed out several times that there's an interaction, a kind of strange interaction between Avraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Sodom, in which Avraham is differentiated. He's like, Avraham is different than he was in Akedat Yitzchak. In Akedat Yitzchak, even though it may seem to us to be unreasonable for a person to sacrifice his son to God, Avraham, as you remember, did not respond. He didn't say anything about the obligation to sacrifice his son. He took it upon himself as though it was a perfectly reasonable thing to do. Now, it is true, probably, that in that world there were more than once or twice human sacrifices. That human sacrifices were not such an unreasonable thing. Nevertheless, we like to think that Avraham Avinu held himself to a different moral standard, that somehow Avraham Avinu knew what should be, how it should be. But when Hashem tells Avraham Avinu to go and sacrifice his son, he has no response. In fact, the pasuk says, "Vayeshkem Avraham baboker," just as we'll see in our parasha as well. "Vayeshkem Avraham baboker," he got up early to go and do this mitzvah, and the Gemara says that that's an indication of zirut, like he moved quickly. That when you do a mitzvah, you should. This is what we learned from Avraham Avinu, that when you do a mitzvah, you should do it. You should do it with energy, with one of those words. Well, we learn it from Avraham Avinu's reaction to the tzivui to sacrifice his son, which maybe to us might seem a little strange, right? But Avraham Avinu accepted the tzivui, the command, as though it was perfectly reasonable. In fact, at the end of Akedat Yitzchak, remember the angel comes down and says to Avraham Avinu, Al ta'as lo me'uma, don't do anything. Me'uma, don't do anything. So what was the anything that the angel was telling Avraham Avinu not to do? The Rashi says, based on the Gemara, that Avraham Avinu thought to himself, this was his problem according to Rashi. How could it be that God told me to sacrifice my son, and then God tells me not to sacrifice my son? That was the moral problem that Avraham had according to Rashi. Not whether he could sacrifice his son, and not even whether God would be able to fulfill the promise that he made to Avraham Avinu, which was that he would have children if he killed his son. Because as far as Avraham Avinu is concerned, that's God's problem. And God will handle it. Like, it's not Avraham's problem. What was Avraham's problem in Akedat Yitzchak, according to Rashi? What's Avraham's problem? That God told Avraham to sacrifice his son, and then when he put his son up on the altar, the angel told him not to sacrifice his son. So what was Avraham Avinu's problem? Right? It wasn't so much could God change God's mind, because we know that the answer to that question is yes. But Avraham Avinu's problem was, how can I, Avraham Avinu, do both commands? How can I listen to God and sacrifice my son, and listen to God and not sacrifice my son? That was Avraham's. Now, it's not a moral dilemma. It's just a plain old regular question. How can you do two contradictory things when God is telling you to do both of them? So Rashi says That pasuk, the angel comes and says to Avraham, al taslo me'uma, don't do anything to him. But it doesn't say in the pasuk what the anything is. But Rashi says that Avraham had this idea. How can he do both? How can he sacrifice his son, fulfill that command, and not sacrifice his son, fulfill that command? So he said he would create a physical blemish in Yitzchak, like cut his eyelid or something, something very minor, which would render him unfit for being a sacrifice. He, Yitzchak, if he followed the rules of sacrifices. So then Avraham Avinu said, look, I was here ready to sacrifice my son, but I can't do it because he has this blemish, you know, so I'm fulfilling both, or I'm trying to fulfill both. I'm not denying my obligation. So that's what Rashi says. So Rashi says that the word me'uma, you look at the blackboard, see the blackboard, mem, aleph, vav, mem, hey, me'uma. But the way we talk Hebrew, it comes out muma, muma, like as though the aleph is not there. Aleph did not fare well in the history of the Hebrew language, right? Aleph. I mean, there are a lot of words with alephs in them that you don't pronounce the aleph, right? Tzon, tzon, sheep, rosh, head. This is ulpan level A. Don't they go beyond A? So the word rosh, for example, the word rosh has an aleph in the middle, but you don't pronounce it. It's gone from the pronunciation world. And the word tzon, which means sheep, is pronounced without, as though the aleph was not there. So the word me'uma, I say me'uma, because if you lame on Shabbos, if you lame the parsha, everybody will scream at you if you don't say me'uma. But the way people pronounced it, apparently, was muma. Muma is very similar to the word mum, which is a physical blemish. And so that's how Rashi gets it. How did we get to this story about Akedat Yitzchak? Because I wanted to say that there's a difference between Avram Avinu's reaction to the tzivui, to the command to do Akedat Yitzchak, and Avram Avinu's reaction to the news that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. In the first case, Avraham Avinu is concerned about how he's going to do it. Right? He has no moral compunction about sacrificing his son. His problem is, could I do it exactly right? You know, could I get the Zman right? Will I be able to get it without chometz? With all of these things. That's Avraham Avinu's problem. When it comes to stone, Avraham Avinu is unhappy. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm looking at the Perek Yudchet, it's not on the sheet. Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Kafei, Chalila Lecha Me'asot Kedavar Hazeh. Lamit Tzadikim Rasha, Chalila Lecha. You imagine somebody saying to God, what a terrible idea. You know, like it's really the worst thing I've ever heard, that you're going to go and kill the people in Sodom v'Amorah. HaShofet Kol Ha'aretz Lo Yaseh Mishpat. Can it be that the judge of judges is not going to do a reasonable judgment? Avraham Avinu is really worked up about it. He wasn't worked up about sacrificing his son, but he is worked up about what's going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah. So why is he worked up about what happens in Sodom and Gomorrah? So I bring it as a reference. It's also not on the sheet. This is an exciting week. Nothing is on the sheet. I don't know why there's a sheet. There must be a reason. So the Rambam was talking at the beginning of the Hilchot Avodah Zarah. The Rambam talks about how Avodah Zarah, idolatry, came into the world. After all, the way the story is in the Bereishit, everybody's talking to God. Everybody talks about how could you get from everybody talking to God to Avodah Zarah? That seems like a little bit strange. So the Rambam in his discussion gets up to Avraham Avinu He says, you know, the things were going wild. There was a lot of idolatry in the world. And then he says, "Avatzur alamim lo yashum adam shayam makiro v'lo yodo el yichidei molam kigon chanoch u'metushelach noach shem v'ev." He says the situation was just terrible in the world before Noach. Everybody was an idolater. Hardly anybody held on to the pure faith, right? You know, whatever that was, of that knowing that God. Remember, we saw Malkitzedek. Remember Malkitzedek? That El Elyon, the two basic principles, the principle of El Elyon, there's one God that's above all other kinds of powers, and Konei Shamayim Va'aretz, and the creator of heavens and earth, that God created the world. So he says there were few people left who knew these things. There was hardly anybody before Noah, before the flood in Noah. While there, the Rabbam says, Hayaho olam holecho mitgalgel. And so this was history. That's what happened. Everybody was an idolater, except a few people here and there, a little nutty. They were a little nutty, a little strange. They stuck to themselves. And they were the ones who knew about God. They still remembered about God. And then the Rabbam says, Ad shen nolad amudo shel olam. Until he was born. Who is he? The pillar of the world, the thing that holds up the world, the who, and I name him, the Rambam says dramatically, this is called dramatic writing. Who, in case you don't know, Avraham Avinu. This is the story of it. So Avraham Avinu was not only possessed of the truth, but he was Amudo Shel Olam, meaning he was the cause for the very existence of the world. It was his God wondering about whether the world should continue to be or not. And Avraham Avinu turned the scales in favor of existence. So then...
And he said he wasn't going to destroy the world.
What?
After Noah, what he said, God said he wasn't going to destroy the world again.
After Noah... I'm sorry,
didn't you? Baruch Hu said he wasn't going to destroy the rainbow. He wasn't going to destroy the world.
Oh, very good. That is on the sheet. We'll get to it. We'll get to it momentarily. But this is what the Rambam says. Then the Rambam goes on and he says, the Rambam says, it's us talking about Avraham Avinu. It's not talking about Avraham Avinu. What's he going to say about Avraham Avinu? What's the Rambam going to say? I mean, it's really worth looking at. If you've never seen it, you don't remember it, you should look at it. But here the Rambam says, Ad sheisig derech ha'emet ve'hevin kav ha'tzedek. These words for the Rambam are really meaningful. Emet, truth, and tzedek, which maybe means justice. I mean, you could have like a thinking about what those words mean. It's words that you think you know the meaning of that are the most challenging. Because if you don't know what it means, you go look it up in the dictionary today, you Google it. But if you think you know what it means, then it's the nuances that become very difficult. So here the Rambam says, Avraham Avinu went on a search for Emet and Tzedek, and he found it, right? He found it. And then after that, Keva Shegavar Lehem V'Ra'ayotav says, he started arguing the case. Everybody he met, he would say, there's only one God. A God created the world. And everybody he met, he got into this discussion. He says, Bikesh HaMelech Lahargo. So we know that Nimrod, remember Nimrod? He wanted to kill, you know, Terach. Terach was not a nice man. And so he told Nimrod that Avraham was spreading false notions about religion. Of course, Terach, according to Chazal, was the guy who sold idols. So he really didn't like Avraham's storytelling, which sort of excluded idols. Like it's like his business was going down the drain. V'naselo Nes, the Rambam says, also interesting. Naselo Nes, you know, there's a whole story. He was thrown into the lion's den. He, Avraham, was thrown into the lion's den. He smiled at the lions, and the lions smiled back. And then... that was it. That was the end of the story. See, Rambam doesn't tell that story. He just says, Naselo Nes. A miracle took place, and then he went to Haran. He started screaming for the entire world to hear, to announce to them that there is only one God, and serving the one God is the right thing to do. He would go from place to place and get everybody together, and larger regions, until he finally got to Canaan, and he's screaming out this his truth. That's Avraham Avinu according to the Rambam. So according to this Rambam, the Rambam now doesn't say what I'm going to say, but I think he could have said it. When Avraham Avinu heard that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, what was Avraham Avinu's problem? What was Avraham Avinu's problem? It was not whether God was just. Avraham Avinu knew that God was just. Remember the Rambam, Emet Vitzedek? That was not an issue for Avraham Avinu. Just as it was not an issue for Avraham Avinu with Akedat Yitzchak. Just and truth were not an issue when it came to God. Certainly God, true. Certainly God, just. What was the issue? The issue Avraham Avinu had was, how am I going to explain it to the others, to the people who don't know, to the people who don't have that same concept of truth and justice about God? How am I going to explain it to them? So Avraham Avinu asked their question, the question of the people he was going to meet running around and trying to promote belief in God. So what are their 50 tzaddikim? What are their 50 tzaddikim? And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, 50 tzaddikim. I won't describe it. In other words, God said, I will accommodate your questions. I'll make it known that if there were 50 tzaddikim, they won't be destroyed. As it was, there were no tzaddikim. I mean, even Lot, who was saved, could hardly be called a tzaddik, according to our notion. So the first thing I wanted to say about the discussion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu about Sodom v'Amora was that the issue had nothing to do with justice, and had nothing to do with truth, because that was a certainty for Avraham Avinu. What did it have to do with? It had to do with what he would say to the people he met. How would he spread the word that God is just if God just arbitrarily overturns the entire city of Sodom, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Sounds like our political situation today.
Today?
Our Israel versus the Arabs.
Yeah. It's like,
what's the EU going to say if we do this or that?
Well, that's taken care of in the first Rashi. The first Rashi in the Chumash takes care of that, because the Rashi says if the people in the United Nations come and they say you stole the land to the Jews, so what do we say? Well, how do we respond to that? So according to Rashi, respond by, the United Nations, they say, we've been here for a long time. We, the Arabs, have been here for a long time. And therefore, how do you know, I mean, what right do you have to say that God has changed his position? Because why are we, the Arabs, here in Israel? Because God wanted us to be there. Okay, Rashi says the seven nations of Canaan. I see, since nobody's reacting, I don't want you to think that I'm quoting Rashi. The seven nations of Canaan say to the Jews, we've been here a long time, and how'd we get here? It must be that God wanted us to be here, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So how can you come and tell us that God has changed his mind? That seems to be a breach of some kind of theology. Right? We would say that God doesn't change his mind. So according to Rashi, the book of Bereishit comes to tell us, it's also the Ramban says the same thing in a different way, but comes to tell us that there's something called Sachar Va'onesh, reward and punishment. And what does reward and punishment imply? Reward and punishment implies change. Because that's what punishment is. You have it, and now you don't have it. That's a punishment. Or you didn't have it, and now you do have it. That's a reward. So reward and punishment equals change. Right? You can't really have a system of reward and punishment unless you agree that things can change. That things can change. Therefore the Chachamim, in the Talmud, they ask about Yitziat Mitzrayim. Yitziat Mitzrayim? It's not yet Hanukkah, but if you could remember Pesach, we celebrate Yitziat Mitzrayim at that time. Well, so Yitziat Mitzrayim. The question was, why were the Egyptians severely punished in the process of Yitziat Mitzrayim? After all, they enslaved the Jews. It was a prophecy that God gave to Avraham Avinu. So why punish the Egyptians for doing what God wanted them to do? Question. So the answer is, they went overboard. In other words, yes, they did. They were the emissaries. They were God's emissary. Yes, that's true. But they went at it with too much energy and devotion, and for that they deserve to be punished. So that the punishment is led to change. Right? Things change. That's what reward and punishment is, that there is a possibility of change, and that's what Rashi says in the first Rashi on the Chumash. And if you have energy, you can look at the Ramban, and the Ramban says the same thing, but kind of more expansively. Rashi says it, though, it's concisely, and I think he doesn't use the word Sechar Va'onesh, but I think that's what he means. That's what he means. You can't have a world of reward and punishment unless you agree that change could take place. Because that's what reward and punishment causes. It can't all just stay the same. So you say to the Canaanites, okay, you are here in Eretz Yisrael because God determined that you deserve to be in Eretz Yisrael. Now, God has determined that you don't deserve it anymore, and therefore it's going to be handed over to the Jews as they come to Eretz Canaan. Okay, so now let's look at some of the... That's one thing I wanted to say. The second thing I wanted to say, we look at a few psukim. You see... Let's start from Perikyu, the top, the psukim at the top of the sheet. Vashem in tir al Sodom v'amora gofrit v'esh v'et Hashem min ha-shamayim. Now there's a difference. We're almost up to your question. There's a difference between the flood and the story of Sodom v'amora. Right? In the story of Sodom v'amora, the cities were destroyed by Gafrit v'Esh. Esh is fire. Gafrit is tar. Me'et Hashem min ha-shamayim. Came down from heaven. And as a result, Vayapoch et ha'arim, the cities were turned over. Ha'el bees. Ve'et kol ha'kikar, ve'et kol ha'yoshvei ha'arim, ve'et semach ha'adama. So what else was destroyed in the turning of Sodom v'Amora that was not destroyed apparently in the flood? Tzemach ha'adama. Things growing in the ground, because when Noach got out of the Teva, when Noach left the Teva and went into the world, he planted. Everything worked. Everything worked. But here in Sodom v'Amora, the Tzemach ha'adama is destroyed. And then Tebet Ishto Be'acharav V'tehi Nitziv Melech. I don't want to talk about feminism and women and looking and she turned into salt. But what I do want to say is that you know that if you pour salt over the land, over the earth, what happens? You can't grow anything. The earth becomes enfeebled by the salt. So I think that this is a mashal, like a kind of a metaphor for some greater thing. Pasuk Kaf Zayin, Vayishkem Avraham Baboker. Right, remember it said Vayishkem Avraham Baboker Ba'akedat Yitzchak is where we learn about Zrizin L'mitzvot. You have to get up early, do a mitzvah. And here you have the same language again. Vayishkem Avraham, we don't learn it from this pasuk, but it is the same formulation. Ela Makom Shamat Sham Et Pnei Hashem. There was something, a place where God appeared to Avram Avinu. Vayishkef Al Pnei Sodom. He looked over Sodom Va'amora. Va'kol Pnei Eretz Akikar Va'yar V'nei Ala Kitor Ha'aretz Kikitor Ha'kibshad. The whole land turned into a furnace. The whole place of Sodom Va'amora turned into a furnace. I mean, it's not like the Mabul at all. It's not like the Mabul at all. The Mabul wiped out the distinctions in creation, right? Part of creation was, here is the water and here is the dry land. You can't have creation if you don't have Vayavdel, if you don't have a distinction, a separation of water and land. That's what creation is. So when the Mabul came and covered up the land, that part of creation was wiped out. And we reverted back to Ruach Elokim Rachefet Al Pnei Hamayim. There was before and there was after. Before there were no distinctions, it was all water. Afterwards, there's Vayavdel, there were distinctions. And what was the flood? The flood took us back to pre-distinction. So that when the water subsided, water, the flood subsided, you got back what you started out with. I mean, except for the people who died, of course, but I'm saying that the creation was the same as it was before. There was man, there was one man who already had a wife. His name was Noah, right? There was a man. And that man lived in a world, or went out of the ark into a world where there were distinctions. There was water and there was land, right? There was that distinction. And then Noah received a mitzvah. What was the mitzvah? Pru Urvu. That was the mitzvah. You see the mitzvah that made him into a man. It says, you are connected to God. This is what God wants you to do. And this is what Noah went to do. So Noah was a direct connection, even though he was a new beginning. He was a direct followed directly Adam HaRishon, who was born into the world of distinctions, who received the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, and who couldn't make a go of it in Gan Eden, and so Noah didn't have that option. So look again at Pasuk Kaf Chet. Vayashkef al pnei Sodom v'Amora, he looked at it, al pnei Eretz Kikar v'Yar, v'inei ala kitor ha'aretz kikikor ha'kav kivshad. The whole thing turned into a furnace. All of the land of Sodom v'Amora, plus the fact that she became a kind of pillar of salt, all of which indicates devastation that cannot be repaired until today. Until today, you can't grow anything with Yam HaMelech. You can't do anything there. Well, okay, today you can get the minerals out of it. Maybe I should retreat from that. But I retreat. Vayhi b'shachet Elokim et arei hakikar. When b'shachet Elokim et arei, nothing like this was ever said about the Mabul, about the flood. The flood, everything was covered by water. Whoever needs the land to live was not able to live. The fish are a problem, right? You know, the Chazal think about that. Think about what happened to the fish in the Mabul. But here it says, "Vayhi b'shachet Elokim et arei hakikar, vayizkor Elokim et Avraham, vayizkor Elokim et Avraham." So before I try to explain that, what by Yisgor Lim Abraham, because after all, it's hard to speak about God as remembering, sort of implying that God might forget something, and that remembering is something worth noting. But if you go down to Bereshit, Perek Chet, the next, after the next one, right? Bereshit, Perek Chet, Pasuk Aleph, Vayiskor Elokim et Noach, ve'et kol ha'chaya ve'et kol ha'beima asher ito b'teiva. Now this is really, I mean, the whole world is water. There are no distinctions anymore. Creation has been obliterated. All that's left is Noach and the Teva. And so if you say Vayiskor Elokim et Noach, like, you know, where was God a minute before? What do you mean Vayiskor et Noach? There was nothing else happening in the world. All the other movies were closed. So what is Vayiskor Elokim et Noach? So Rashi says, Zeh Hashem Midat Hadinu. So Rashi was concerned about the use of the names of God. And the word Elokim is the name of God that represents judgment. And Hashem, so that's Breshit Bara Elokim et Hashemayim et Haaretz. So Chazal said that the reason that the world could not continue to exist in its original format was because God created the world bedin, with justice. And we just are not capable of living up to that standard. So Rashi says, Zeh Hashem Midat Hadinu. Right, Elokim. It turned into Rachamim al yedei tefilat tzadikim. V'yishatam shel rishaim hofechet midat rachamim lemidat adin. So what Rashi says this, Vayizkor Elokim et Noach. That somehow Vayizkor, or let's look at the next right there, the Vayizkor modifies or mitigates the name of God, Elokim, which means din. That somehow Vayizkor, like remember Rosh Hashanah? You do remember. It happens annually. It's usually 2 days. Sometimes there's a Shabbos there also, which makes it feel like 3 days. When we say Tkiyat Shofar, or even if we don't do Tkiyat Shofar, if it's Shabbos, we say Psukim. That kind of put us into the right mood. There are Psukim about Malchiyot, there are Psukim about Zichronot, there are Psukim about Shofarot. So, okay, Malchiyot, I understand, there's a major theme on Rosh Hashanah that God is the king, which I guess means that, you know, you should follow the directives to the mitzvot. I mean, in any event, it makes sense. Malchiyot. Shofarot, that's the basic mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. It's to blow the shofar. So to get involved in thinking about shofarot, that also makes sense. At least to me, it makes sense. But what exactly are zichronot? Right? To quote a bunch of psukim, in which the idea of zecher, of memory, of remembering, is mentioned. But what's the big deal? Who that we keep saying God should remember? God should remember us. Remember who we are. Remember. Why do we think anything else? In any event, I think that Vayizkor Elokim et Noach is a word that describes the new beginning. Vayizkor Elokim, it's like God said, and now we start again. And now we start, and as he takes note of, it's like the next step in the process. The first step was the flood and wiping out to some extent the original creation. The next step is giving Noach the mantle of creation, giving him the mantle which enables him to succeed, to go on, to do whatever has to be done. So let's go back to Perek Chet, Pasuk Aleph. No, I'm sorry. Let's go back to Perek Yutet, Pasuk Kaftet. The last Pasuk in the first section. Vayhi b'shachet elokim et arei hakikar. when God destroyed the cities in this plain, right? Stov and Amorah, Adma v'Tzvoyim, Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham, Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham. Again, we have the name of God that is being used is Elokim. Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham. Vayishalach et Lot mitoch afecha ba'afoch et harim asher yeshav ba'em Lot. And he sent out Lot. He sent Lot out of the city. Lot was saved. What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say about Vayizkor Elokim et Noach? Remember, Vayizkor Elokim says Hashem midat adinu. V'nefcha l'midat rachamim al yedei tfilat tzadikim. Al yedei tfilat tzadikim. Tfilat tzadikim, that comes from the Gemara in Masayat Brachot. The second source from the bottom of the page. The second source, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. You know Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan was the last generation, or next to the last generation of Moraim in Eretz Yisrael, and responsible for the Yerushalmi. Resh Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, even though they were kind of the editors. They had something to do with creating the Yerushalmi. Listen to this. Afilu b'shatka asor shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, hu zocher et ha-tzadikim. He remembers the righteous. Sheneemar quotes our pasuk. Vayhi b'shachet Elokim et arei hakikar. Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham. So again, what's the pshat? Vayhi b'shachet Elokim. What's Elokim? Elokim midat adin. God is going to destroy the cities of Sodom v'Amorah. Et arei hakikar. Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham. What is Vayizkor Elokim? Not like we remember, where we sort of like, remembering is not a voluntary act. I just remember, oh yeah, I remember that. But not because I thought about it, it just sort of comes to me. But according to the Gemara, Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham means that God purposely remembered Avraham. Why? Because by remembering Abraham, this is explained in Rashi, you have to keep your finger on both things. Rashi says that the tzaddikim modify, mitigate the divine decision to punish. So Vayizkor Elokim et Abraham means God wanted Abraham there in the picture. He wanted Abraham to be there with him when he punished Sodom v'Amorah, because Avraham would lend, would make it possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to limit his justice, his din, and adopt the mantle of Rachamim. Vayishlach et Lot mitoch aficha, that he sent out Lot, even though Lot did not deserve to be saved. He was certainly not righteous in the sense of righteousness. He did something that was positive, but he was not righteous. And he was not even righteous in his dealings with Avram Avinu. He was actually quite negative. That's it. So you see, another explanation for Avram Avinu making his way to God and saying, 50, you're going to kill them? So it's not so much the, according to this Gemara, it's not the particular argument that Abraham is making, but it's the presence of Abraham that has to be taken into account. So Abraham Avinu injected himself into the discussion. Like he said, oh, I hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're going to do this or do that. I would like to be present. How am I going to be present? By asking a question. Now this is all, I think, what Rav Kook meant to say in the Ein Hayah. The Ein Hayah is a commentary that Rav Kook wrote on the Agadot of Shas. He managed to get through Brachot and most of Shabbat. That's just the first two volumes. He did it when he was quite young, but it's hard to tell. I mean, that he was quite young. I mean. And he has a certain way of writing, which sometimes is a little difficult, but I think we can figure it out, more or less. So this is what he says. Kol midot ha'anaga elokit, when I speak about divine leadership, the way God runs the world, right? Hema li'olam mechuvanim neged ha'aluchah shel ha'tzedek v'amusar shel kedushat ha'nefashot. He says, the way God runs the world is always a reflection of these words, tzedek and musar. You remember the Rambam that we saw? Emet v'tzedek. The Rav Kook calls it always tzedek and musar. Musar is a word that describes like ethical action, doing the right thing, because it is the right thing, even though it may not be clearly defined in the halakha. It nevertheless, that's what we call musar. Musar, by the way, is a word that's hard to translate and is often used in English as musar as well. Right, so you could say, you're allowed to say the word musar. Okay? Al-Kain, Kasher kidei l'romem et nafshot b'nei adam, el ha-tzedek, in order to get people to move themselves in the direction of righteousness, chayav liyot b'anhaga haribonit, there has to be in the leadership and the authority, rishamim kvuim al godel erech hatzadikim. So you always need to make this point that the tzadikim are very important in the world, because they're the ones who lead us in an ethical path, in making sure that we do the right thing. Because as everybody knows, there are a lot of questions that seem to be unclear. And the lack of clarity we may use for our advantage. We say, oh, it's not perfectly clear, so I'll be a bad person. You know, because I don't have clear leadership. But the tzaddikim are the people who do give. And there are people like that. Everybody knows people who are able to influence others with their righteousness. So he says, Erech HaTzadikim, I'm in the fifth line. Hashpa'at Hatzlacha Sheba Beglalam, that because of them there's certain achievement and success. Gam Lezulatam, also for the others, for people who are nearby, right nearby them, the man, yes, Sa'ad Musari L'Rabim, L'Erdof Achar HaTzedek, Sa'ad Musari. There'll be support, right, ethical support, that will enable everybody to chase after righteousness, the tzedek. Amnam, Mora Shamayim, Mora Hadin Va'onesh, that the fear of heaven and the fear of judgment and punishment, harishaim gam heim mitikunei haolam umibisisav. He says, because you fear punishment, sometimes rishaim also provide a fixing. The wicked people can also provide fixing because they're afraid. Akein b'famim yipakshu harishamim b'batzav ha'et nagdut. And so somehow these influences are negative. They seem to contradict. Shekidei lavlit yafeh eto avat harasha v'achrita hara ra'ui la'archiv tziyu shilton v'dat ha'mishpat, etc. So what is it that Rav Kook, what is Rav Kook doing? He says, here's a Gemara. The Gemara is talking about a specific event in Jewish history. And that specific event in Jewish history was when Avram Avinu was remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Avram Avinu was remembered at HaKadosh Baruch Hu when HaKadosh Baruch Hu set out to destroy Sodom v'Amorah. And why was he remembered according to the Gemara? Why was he remembered? Because tzaddikim, i.e. Avram Avinu, modify and mitigate the din and turn it into rachamim, into mercy. And that's why the pasuk ends by saying, and so God let Lot escape. Right? It was because of Avram Avinu that God let Lot escape, and it wasn't because Lot himself was a worthy personality. Along comes Rav Kook, and what Rav Kook says, even in the part that we just read, what Rav Kook says is, this is true. This is true even today. Even today, it's the righteous people who kind of train us or teach us or lead us in the direction of ethics and morals. They show us the way. And when they're around, it's very hard for me, anybody, to deny that, deny what they are doing. So on the one hand, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was in some way much more serious and tragic than the destruction of the world by flood. Because the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah apparently was irreparable. It remained a place where you could not grow anything. You know that God tells Yirmiyahu Navi, "Bet mitzafon tipatach ra'a." You remember? Mitzafon tipatach, that the ra'a will come from the north. And the destruction of Am Yisrael will come from the north. What's in the north? So you could say Babylonia, Assyria, you know, historic enemies of Am Yisrael. But there's a medrash in the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar that says that when God created the world, there was a little bit of the world that was left uncreated, and that was in the north. And therefore, all of the ra, all of the evil that you see in the world originates in that north. There is this idea of the uncreated world. But at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, the punishment that they received, even though God said, and this is in this section that we didn't read, but it's there. God said, I won't do it again. I won't bring down this kind of destruction of Bnei Israel. This kind of destruction was destruction where the waters obliterated the distinction, the vayavdel, between the dry land and the waters, right? There was this obliteration of that distinction. That's not going to happen again. But Sodom and Gomorrah, which is people denying the connection of God to the creation, which produces an uncreated piece of territory. Uncreated in the sense that you can't plant there, you can't grow anything there, you can't do anything there. That's the negative, or the part of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is unfortunate. But the other part of the story was Vayizkor Elokim et Avraham, that Avraham, righteous as he was able to modify God's behavior from din to rachamim and cause the saving of Lot at that particular time, and that's what the pasuk says. Okay, have a good Shabbos.